accomplish, and you're not accomplishing it yet. It's something on the inside of you. You're not realizing it yet, but you know there's more that God has in store. Let me see. Amen. Yes, that's what these sessions will help us to accomplish. We're talking about the believer's ministry, and we just started last week. We're calling these our discipleship sessions. Why? Because, and if you come on Sunday, how many of y'all were here Sunday? Amen. Good, good, good. Give yourself a round of applause for showing up on Wednesday. The Bible lets us know if you're going to be free, free from sickness, free from disease, it is not a matter of, many people think that God can do it, but he hasn't, and they're wanting God to do something for him, and the truth of the matter is he's already done all he's going to do. God has already provided everything. The problem is most people don't know how to receive. They don't know how to receive things, and the Bible tells us, and that's why Jesus said, go make disciples, not converts, but most believers are converts, and that simply means they don't know how to get what God has for them, although he's provided everything for them and gives it all to us up front. And so one of the things that we have to understand as believers is what I'm talking about in this session. This is going to help you to walk out your corporate call and your unique individual call. You are called. You're not an accident. You're alive because God wanted you to be alive. You're not just the product of your parents' passion. You really are the product of God's purpose, and most people don't realize that. But just like if you worked at a company, if you worked at a company, you need to know the overall scope of that company, what their mission is, so that you know the part that you play in that. Even if you just work at McDonald's and you're flipping burgers, admirable position. Come on, somebody, put me on the fries. Right? But many people just do that job and they have a poor attitude, but they're affecting that whole company. You get it? And you have a call in the body of Christ. And that's what we're talking about, because we want you to know why you're alive and how to fulfill the purpose and assignment that God's birthed you to be, to do, and to have. Amen? So last week we started this series called The Believer's Ministry. And we said in Ephesians, turn over in your Bible to Ephesians chapter 4. I'm just going to review a couple verses really quickly. Last week what we did was read all of Ephesians 4 and most of Ephesians 5. Because Ephesians 4 and 5 talks about the walk of a believer, of the believer. Ephesians, the whole book of Ephesians is divided into three sections. The first section is sitting. You could classify it as sitting. Seated in heavenly places in Christ. Jesus is seated at the right hand of the Father. First three chapters talks about your position seated in Christ. If you don't know how to sit right in Christ, you'll never know how to walk right as a believer. So the first three chapters in Ephesians are talking about how you sit, how you're seated in Christ in heavenly places, your position of righteousness, your position of authority. There is no more authority in the earth than what you and God have. We have all of his authority, everything. We have everything God has, and that's your seated position. In order to walk this walk out as a Christian, you've got to know, and that's what chapter 4 and 5 are. Chapter 4 and 5 talk about the walk of a believer. And so we read chapter 4 and 5, most of it, and then we looked at a few verses. Let me just show you just verse 1 of chapter 4. You can see it right here. He says, therefore, the prisoner for the Lord, Paul says, appeal to and beg you to do what? Walk. Chapter 4 starts the walk of the believer. To walk, that means to lead a life worthy of the divine what? Calling to which you have been called. Say, I'm called. Now, every believer needs to know this. Most believers, they make a distinction between my work as a fivefold ministry. I sit in the office of a fivefold minister, and their position they think I'm called, but they're not. We're all called. Look this chapter. I therefore, the prisoner for the Lord, appeal to and beg you to walk, lead a life worthy of the divine calling to which you have been called, with behavior that is a credit to the summons to God's service. Every believer is called to the ministry, and most believers do not know this, because they don't know the corporate assignment of their life, they never fit into their individual assignment. If you don't know the big picture of the body of Christ and your place in it, you can never fit right anywhere. you won't fit right. You'll jump from church to church, perhaps spouse to spouse, job to job, because you haven't gotten what your purpose is as a believer. And say, I'm called. And so that calling, the calling of every believer, comes with a lifestyle. Every believer is called to a different life than the life of the world. Most believers don't know that. They think that my life as a fivefold ministry position should be different. In other words, y'all can cuss, but not me. We can get drunk, but not you, Pastor. Wrong. All of us have a calling. All of us are called to the body of Christ. Oh, Pastor, we can have sex out of wedlock, but not you. Because you have a ministry position and not us. We're all called to the ministry. If you're born again, you're called to the ministry. All right? So that whole chapter, the whole chapter 4 and 5, all talk about behavior. Behavior as a believer. Behavior because you've been called. Live this life that is suitable to that calling. And what he's essentially saying, and you'll see this, there's four areas of ministry. Four areas of ministry, and every time he discusses it, in the pretext and the post-text, he talks about lifestyle. Lifestyle as a believer is critical to your call and your assignment in life. You can mess up you can derail the destiny God has for you just by poor behavior as a believer, which is why the body of Christ is so jacked up and why so many believers are jacked up. They haven't learned this. And I'm not blaming the believer. I'm blaming the fivefold ministry. I take full responsibility. We haven't taught this clearly enough. Say, I'm called to the ministry. Do y'all see that? And so I'm not going to review all that, but we read all these chapter 4 and chapter 5 last week. Look online and view that so you can see it. But y'all see it there. And then we covered the fivefold ministry call, because so many people think that I'm called to the ministry, but not the body. I'm asked to do things that are not right for the fivefold ministry. And people get offended at that. They get offended because I won't come over and pray for your dog, or I won't run over and do all this stuff that people want me to do all the time and come over and pray for your business, come over and do that. No, you do that. You do that. All right, but when I say that to them or refuse to come, I believe, and they go to another church, guess what is going to happen there? Or there's somebody that's desperate to try to baby you, keep a pacifier in your mouth. I'm not. I would rather you grow up. Come on, somebody. Amen. All right, amen. Smile right there. That wasn't Pastor being mean. Okay, so then jump down to verse 11. I'm going to read it in the New Living Translation, verse 11 through 16. He talks about the whole behavior of believers. But then he says, now I'm going to read it, verse 11 to 16. He says, now these are the gifts Christ gave to the church. He's talking about the church at large. And he says, now these are fivefold ministry gifts. We've coined it fivefold ministry. Here's why. The apostle, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors, and teachers. Five, right? Their responsibility, here's the responsibility of the fivefold ministry. Their responsibility is to equip God's people to do his work. Right. What most people think is, I'm called to do his work. I'm called to teach you to do his work. Right. Now, herein lies why most people never walk out their destiny. They don't know what they're supposed to do. Right. Right? Okay, here. By the way, verse 7, we just started here at verse 11, but verse 7, 1 through 6 talks about unity and all of our corporate call. Verse 7, we read this last week, talks about your unique grace. Bobby's gifted different than Shanae. Shanae's gifted different than Travis. We're all gifted different. Dana and Jack are gifted differently. Everybody has a unique and different gift. Why? Because that places God's person somewhere differently. Right. His glory is to fill the whole earth, and the way he does that is by giving each of us unique gifts with the same as call, corporate call. So doctors are in the hospital, so there's supposed to be some born-again representatives there, representatives for Christ. There's supposed to be some representatives for Christ at the campus. There's supposed to be some at the elementary school. There's supposed to be a representative of Christ everywhere. My responsibility, the fivefold ministry's responsibility, is to equip God's people to do that work. All right? So why you go on your job, it has a dual purpose. You've got to understand that. the church, the Israelites did not separate their work from their ministry. What they did was their ministry. The craftsmen, that was their ministry. Your work, your assignment, your gift is your ministry. Come on, somebody, say, I'm in the ministry. Now, again, I said this last week, don't quit your job and come to the church and ask us for an application, or start finding a few of your friends sitting around you and say, we're going to start our own church now. Pastor Lee said, we in the ministry. Wrong. I've seen a litany of people do that, and watch last week's service. I did all that. All right, explained all that. All right, so here we are explaining the fivefold ministry. He says the purpose of the fivefold ministry is to the fivefold ministry is to equip the body to, number one, do the work of the ministry and build up the church. Back up to verse 12 so they can see it. Their responsibility is to equip God's people to, number one, do his work and build up the church. That word equip is it means to build up, to build up. Building is what it means. It to make each, to build each other up. Hey, Bob, you're doing a great job. You're Pastor Bob. To encourage and build up each other, to help each other. Are y'all with me? The body of Christ. My job is to equip you to do that. Teach you from the scriptures to do it. Everybody say amen right there? How long do we do that? Until, next verse, this will continue until we all, say we all, come to such unity in our faith and knowledge, that word is epinosis, till we come into full knowledge, into unity and faith and full knowledge of Jesus, God's Son. When is that going to occur? When Jesus returns. When Jesus returns, we will come to full knowledge of him. So this will go on until Jesus comes, all right? And what is the purpose? What's the point? That we will be what? Mature in the Lord. The whole point of the church, the whole point of the church is so we grow up. If you have kids, you know how important this is. Babies are beautiful and fun for a little while, for a season. You don't mind changing diapers for a baby that's under 2 or 3, or whatever that age is. I forgot now. But if you're changing diapers when they're 13, something went wrong. There's a problem. Houston, there's a problem. Isn't that right? If you're still taking care of them in their 30s, 40s, and 50s, something went wrong. And you may have to correct that. Come on, somebody. And stuff does go wrong. Come on. Isn't that right? Stuff does go wrong, and you got to help them out. You got to, come on. We get it? That's no shade. That's just real. Okay? And likewise with the body of Christ, the whole point of the church is so that we grow up. The Bible says, as babes desire the sincere milk of the word, that you may grow thereby. The whole point of being born again is to grow up and become matured. Look at this. Here it is. That we continue in the unity of Christ, mature in the Lord, measuring up to the full and complete standard of Christ. You're not just supposed to be righteous in your spirit. God wants that righteousness to permeate into your lifestyle. We are to be the light and salt of the earth. We're the walking billboards for the kingdom of heaven. God wants to show off his health, his wealth, his riches, his joy, his peace through you. Somebody ought to get excited about that. Hold up. Have y'all ever met anybody rich? Uh-oh. Okay. Have y'all ever been to anybody's house who got a lot of money? It's amazing how good they treat you. God, I'm going to read it in the scriptures. I don't even have to go through many illustrations. I put it all in my notes today. God has everything, and he wants to show off his goodness through you and me to bring in others, all right? Come on. Y'all don't excited about that? God, I got a long way to go if y'all ain't happy about that, man. All right, then we will know. Thank you, baby. I know you are. Then we will no longer be immature like children. Here we go. He's going to say like 6 times in all these passages, grow up, grow up, grow up, grow up. No longer like children, we won't be tossed and blown about by every wind of new teaching. We will not be influenced when people try to trick us with lies. So clever, they sound like truth. So you won't be hoodwinked, bamboozled, run amok. Come on, somebody. Plymouth Rock. Y'all know the speech. Come on, somebody. Instead, we will speak the truth in love. Instead of being bamboozled and hoodwinked, we'll speak the truth in love. When someone tries to say something crazy to us, try to lead us that sexual things, and that's typically where it is, in sexual things. Somebody trying to hoodwink you to shack up with them. Y'all acting like, is that a problem? Yes. Hoodwink you to have sex with them and all this kind of stuff. He says, you will speak the truth to them in love. Watch this. Growing in every way more and more like Christ, who is the head of his body, the church. Look at this. Here's the goal. He makes the whole body, watch this, fit together perfectly. As each part does its own special work, it helps the other parts grow so that the whole body is healthy and growing and full of love. So he's saying, when every person does their part, it causes the whole body to grow. My example last week, what if my head grew but my arms and my body didn't? Some of you are still trying to figure out, that didn't happen, right? Or is that what the problem was, Pastor Lee? Yes, I would be deformed. That would be a problem. You get it? And that's what's happened in the body of Christ. It's deformed because there's only a few people doing the work that they're supposed to do. And why? Because we thought that the ministry was up there and not out there. Y'all get it? Put your hands together right there if y'all understand that. So this whole thing is a paradigm shift in our thinking about the function of the church. And this is going to affect you in your work and in everything else once we fully understand this. Amen. All right, turn over to Exodus chapter 18. I got to hurry up. Y'all learning? Exodus chapter 18. The Old Testament model of this. And on Sunday, I'm going to show you, oh my God, I'm going to show you such awesome stuff. This is going to blow you away about being disciples and why they didn't make it into their promised land. They weren't discipled properly. But watch here. Before Moses goes to Canaan, he leaves Egypt. They're born again, but then they have to stop by Mount Sinai, right? Before they get to Mount Sinai, Moses gets instruction about how to lead them. There has to be a right order in the leadership. And so here's chapter 18, verse 13. Now, the next day, Moses took his seat to hear the people's disputes against each other. They waited before him from morning till evening. Moses is the only one trying to instruct and direct the people, right? Watch this. It says, when Moses' father-in-law saw all that Moses was doing for the people, he asked, what are you really accomplishing here? Why are you trying to do all this alone while everyone stands around you from morning to evening? Moses replied, because the people come to me to get ruling from God. They come to me to find out what God says. When a dispute arises, they come to me, and I am the one who settles the case between the quarreling parties. I inform the people of God's decrees and give them instructions. He says, I'm doing everything. This is not good, Moses' father-in-law exclaimed. You're going to wear yourself out and the people too. Watch, he just said what happens in church. When the people sit there and only come to get, they get wore out and I get wore out. Are you getting it? So what this whole thing is mobilizing the church. God gives instructions, says, no, this is not how it works. You got to change the paradigm here. You're wearing yourself out and the people too. This job is too heavy a burden for you to handle all by yourself. Got it. Now listen to me. Let me give you a word of advice, and may God be with you. You should continue to be the people's representative before God, bringing their disputes to him. What is he saying here? Take the problems of the people to God. One translation says, turn your back to the people and turn your face to God. You pray for them. You pray for the people on their behalf. So, all right? Here, let me read on through it. Teach them. Okay, I might as well break it down to you while I'm here. Number one, the pastor and the fivefold ministry's responsibility. Number one, pray for the people. You saw it right there. Look at the next one in verse 20. Teach them God's decrees. Number two, responsibility of the fivefold ministry, teach God's word. One, pray for the people, teach God's word. Next, I didn't read it all. Yeah, and give them his instructions, show them how to conduct their lives. Right? Am I reading in the right translation? This should be in New King James, by the way. Yeah, I'm missing some of the key words here that I'm looking for. New King James, if you don't mind. Praise. In fact, I could just open it here if y'all having a problem back there. Exodus 18, right? And verse 13. Let me just start in 13. Let's see. I'll start in 19. start at 19, baby. Yeah. Listen now to my voice, and I'll give you counsel, and God will be with you. Stand before God for the people. You get it? So that you may bring the difficulties to God. All right? I intercede for the people. That's why I had you fill out those things. Put your prayer request on there. What you want to accomplish in your life, there. Right? And teach them the statutes and the laws. Teach the people. Look at this next one. Show them the way which they must walk and the what? The work they must do. You be an example for them, but you show them the work that they must do. Did y'all see that? Go to the next one. Moreover, you shall select from all the people, able men. This means find some capable people, some capable leaders, such as fear God, men of truth, hating covetousness, and place such over them to be rulers over thousands, rulers over hundreds, rulers over fifties, and rulers over tens. He said, your job is to select some overseers. Put some people in place to help teach and lead the people too. You can't do it yourself. Did you see the qualifications that he said? Make sure they're capable, competent people, that they have a reverent fear for God, that they live by the word, not shacking up, not lying, cheating, conniving, trying to run game, trying to find loopholes in the word. Hate covetousness was the last thing that he said. They're not trying to be in it for money. Now watch this. This is so important because we're moving in this direction. We're having meetings on a weekly basis about putting these things in place and getting groups together and D-life groups and all this stuff that we're consulting with people about. And we're going to put these things in place to help make sure that you're discipled. However, we have to really make sure we do this right and do what Moses said here, because some people who run businesses or have their little, pyramid companies, you know what I'm talking about, those multi-level companies, not pyramid, that's illegal, but multi-level companies, every person in this city who has multi-level, they all call me. Pastor Stokes, I think you would really be good at that. Of course I would. I have a captive audience every week. And as a pastor, they do typically what I say. So if I said, it'd be a great idea for you to get involved in this, that's a conflict of interest. That's wrong. And that's what he's saying. This should not be used for some type of ulterior motive. Pastor, I need to get in that because I sell insurance. That would be good for me because then I'd have a whole bunch of clients. Wrong. Are y'all getting what I'm saying right here? Come on, somebody. And those are the kind of things that we have to watch out for and vet. And, you know, you got Pentecostal players in church. You got all that foolishness that goes on. All right. Okay, so then he gave the qualifications there. All right, did y'all see that? Let me read on. I think I'm almost done. Let them judge the people at all times, and it will be that every great matter they'll bring to Moses, but every small matter they themselves shall judge. So it will be easier for you, for they will bear the burden with you. He said, we're going to all do this together. Everybody doing their part, it's going to work out. If you do this thing and God commands you so, Moses' dad said, God so commands you, then you will be able to endure, and all this people will also go to their place in peace. What is he saying here? They'll be able to walk out their destiny if they do their part. So Moses heeded the voice of his father-in-law and did all that he said. And Moses chose able men out of all Israel. We can choose women too. This is the Old Testament though, you know. And made them heads over the people, rulers of thousands, rulers of hundreds, rulers over fifties, and rulers over ten. So they judged all the people at all times, the hard cases they brought to Moses, but they judged every small case for themselves. Do y'all see where they mobilized the church? Just wasn't one dude doing it and a few staff members. It was everybody did their part. Say, mobilize the church for destiny. Did y'all see that? They can walk out their purpose when they understand their corporate call in the assignment of God. There is a New Testament model of this delegation of the work of the ministry as well. Look over in Acts chapter 6. How many of y'all are learning already? Good. Acts chapter 6. Now in those days when the number of the what? Okay, just look up here. It's a word. Okay, y'all were turning your Bible. All right, here we go. Now in those days when the number of was multiplying, he's going to show us how growth happens in a body. There arose a complaint against the Hebrews by the Hellenists because their widows were neglected in the daily distribution. Now watch this. In a church, there's always going to be some deaths, and widows come up. Are you with me? And during that transition for widows, the church needs to be helping them through that transition. You know, a woman loses her husband. She's, what do I do now? How do I cut the grass? What all these? So that she needs some help in this transition. So of course, in that day, the ministry was going, pastor need to get over there and cut her grass. Pastor need to get over there and get her some groceries. Pastor need to go. It was like, hold up, wait a minute. I can't do everything. That's what happened here. Then the 12 who? 12 disciples. Say disciples. Summoned the what? Multitude of the? Disciples. Say disciples. Disciples will do this, but not converts. Converts say that's somebody else's problem. Disciples say, no, this is a corporate issue. This is a part of our body that's hurting. We all need to come together and do our part. All right? Watch this. Then the 12 summoned the multitude of disciples and said, it's not desirable. The 12 disciples said, it's not desirable that we should leave the word of God and serve tables. Now watch, they weren't being arrogant. They're just saying, hold on, huh? Hold on. What we're supposed to do is teach y'all. We can't do that. Jesus didn't come knock on our bed on Sunday morning and say, now here's what you're going to say. No, we got to prepare during the week. Right. Study to show yourself approved, being workmen, not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Blah, 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 right? That's what we're supposed to be doing. And believe it or not, to do this right, it takes preparation time. Okay? Therefore, brethren, seek out from among you 7 good, watch this, men of good reputation, full of the Holy Spirit and wisdom, not knuckleheads, who will take advantage of a situation, whom we may appoint over this business. All right? Get next, please. But we will give ourselves, says the 12 apostles, to what? Prayer. What was the first responsibility? Moses said it, to prayer. And what's the second? Ministry of the word. Do y'all get this? Said, we got to do this. And the saying pleased the whole multitude. And they chose Stephen, a man full of faith in the Holy Spirit, Philip, that dude, that other dude, and all them, whom they set before the apostles. And when they had prayed and laid their hands on them, then the word of God spread, and the number of disciples did what? Multiply greatly. Why? Because everybody was doing their part. When everybody did their part, everyone wasn't bored. Everyone was doing what they were supposed to do. Why people leave church is because they're bored, and why pastors commit suicide and quit church is because it ain't worth it. I've even said it before. I'd rather sell cars than do this. Come on, somebody. I'd rather do anything than do this, because there's no way anybody can do all that the ministry requires. The phone rings all the time with people asking for stuff and doing stuff. Come on, somebody. Then the word of God spread, and the multitude of the disciples multiplied greatly in Jerusalem, and a great many of the priests were obedient to the faith. The religious order said, you know what? What they're doing is right. I like that better than the Jewish stuff we were doing. Even the Jewish priest ended up getting saved. Do y'all see the model there, how it works? And my point there is, what we're talking about is mobilizing the whole church. We have to all be disciples. Notice the terminology that keeps being used is disciples, not converts, but disciples, all right? Okay, all right, watch this. There's 4 categories of ministry. We're talking about the believer's ministry. Say, I'm called to the ministry. Y'all get that? There's 4 categories or 4 areas of ministry, and all believers are called to the first 3. And some are called to the 4th, the 5-fold ministry. All right? Here, I'm going to just list them, and then we're just going to cover 1 today, then we're going to go get some Subway or some chicken. All right? The first area that every single believer is called to this area, the ministry to the Lord. Ministry to the Lord. Now, amazing, and I'm going to focus on this one today. Many people never get that right but want to work in the 5-fold ministry. Pastor, they don't know how to do any of the stuff that is, and that is every believer must do that. You're called to do that. This is not an option. If you're in the kingdom of God, you're called to do that. Now, God doesn't make you do anything. But the Bible says in Isaiah 119, if you are willing and obedient, you'll eat the good of the land. willing and obedient. When your heart's right and you're really saved and you start becoming a disciple, you'll want to do right. You won't want to run game. You'll want to worship. You'll want to do these things I'm going to show you tonight. All right? So the second category of ministry is ministry to the body. Ministry to the body, all right? How many of y'all know if my body, when I say the body, I mean the body of Christ, but if my personal body, if I got a migraine headache, how many of y'all know it's going to be really difficult to do anything for you? Right. Come on, somebody. If I'm broke, I can't rub two nickels together. How many of you know it's going to be real hard to be a blessing to you? Yes. Ministry to the body is a second call of ministry that every believer is called to. I'll explain all that next week. Number three, the ministry of reconciliation. You've heard me talk about that, 2 Corinthians, right? The ministry of reconciliation. Every believer is called to that. That's why you're in a unique place, that ministry of reconciliation. And then, of course, the fourth one, not every person is called to this, but many people want to get to this before doing any of the other stuff. Why? Because they think there's some kind of glamour in this. They think that this is glamorous. Everyone wants that because I get to be up front. I get to be seen. I get to be on TV. I get to be, please. Most people have no earthly idea. But anyway, okay, so the fivefold ministry. Tonight, all we're going to focus on is the ministry to the Lord. What is that? Every believer's called to it. Let's look at it. 1 Peter, turn in your Bible. You got to see this. 1 Peter chapter 2, and I'm going to read verse 1 through 5, then we're going to look at verse, I think, 11 or something like that. 9 through 12, yeah. All right, 1 Peter, y'all there yet? Now watch this, y'all. This is a phenomenon that I just saw when I started studying this. This blows me away. Let me just read it. Watch this. Therefore. Whenever you see therefore in a passage, in a text, usually the first word, it's there for a reason. You have to go back and see what it's there for. If you go back to chapter 1, what you're going to find out is being born again, not of corruptible, but incorruptible seed. He's talking about just being born again. Because you've been born again by the incorruptible seed of the word of God. You'll see that all in chapter 1. It's about being born again and getting the word. Therefore, because you're born again now, you've received the word of God, laying aside all malice, all deceit, hypocrisy, envy, and all evil speaking. The first thing he starts talking about before he talks about your call and your assignment is your behavior. Please hear me, saint of God, and I'm not throwing shade. People may think I'm picking on them. But just like your kids, you know it. You don't want them to get involved in foolishness because that can jeopardize their destiny. And that's what God does repeatedly. All four areas of the categories of ministry always open up with behavior. Why? Because you jeopardize your destiny with your behavior. Hit the person next to you and say, you need to pay attention to that. That's critical. Premature pregnancy, shacking up, sex out of wedlock, and particularly those are the things he talks about. Those things can derail your destiny. Yeah. Are y'all listening to me? Y'all know it. If you got kids, it can completely derail their life. Amen. Therefore, okay, next one. As newborn babes. So we're not talking about deep Christians here. We're talking about newborn, diaper-pooping babes. Desire the pure milk of the word that you may do what? Grow thereby, if indeed you have tasted the Lord, that the Lord is gracious, coming to him. Okay, watch this. Coming to him as a lively stone. Coming to him, Jesus, as this living stone. In fact, the Bible says he is the chief cornerstone. That's what it's talking about. Coming to him as a lively stone. Why a lively stone? Rejected indeed by men, but chosen by God and precious. You also, as living stones are being built up a what? Spiritual house. Okay, so what is he talking about? He's talking about, if you read in Revelation, it talks about the apostles being this foundation. They're the foundation. Jesus is the cornerstone. And where's the stones built on it to build a spiritual house of God? We are the house of God, and each of us are living stones that are in that house. We all play a part in the house of God. Come on, somebody. Y'all see that? Being built up a spiritual house. Look at this. A holy priesthood that does what? Here's your first call. You are a priesthood that ministers to God. Amen. You're a holy priesthood. To offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. So what he's saying here, what our first call is that we are kingdom priests. We're a spiritual house. He calls us a holy priesthood. Jump down to verse, 9. But you are a chosen generation. Say, I'm chosen. Look at this. A royal priesthood. Do y'all get this? You're a royal priesthood, a holy nation, his own special people, that you may proclaim the what? Praises of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. Once you were not a people, but are now the people of God. Say, I'm the people of God. Y'all get that? Who had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy. Don't mistake his mercy for approval. Don't get caught up in the foolishness and say, I didn't drop dead. Must be all right. You've obtained mercy, grace, and love, but don't count that as approval for your foolishness. All right? Beloved, I beg you as sojourners and pilgrims, abstain from fleshly lust, which war against your soul. It's going to do something to your soul. Okay, we're trying to talk about you being a holy priesthood here. And then again, he has to go back to this lust issue. Does anybody feel that? Do y'all get how serious this is? Do you see why I have to say it from the pulpit? Because I promise you, in this room alone, there are people caught up in some foolishness. Just keep looking straight ahead. We don't know it. We don't know you. Come on. And I don't want to know you like that. If I put you in charge of something, I'm going to know you like that. If you stand on this platform with a microphone, I'm going to vet you and find out about that. I have to. Y'all get that? Because I'm also over these stones in this house. I'm accountable for that. And I have to. Come on, y'all. Do y'all get how serious that is? All right. Beloved. Okay, yeah. Having your conduct honorable among the Gentiles, that's unbelievers. Watch this. That when they speak against you as evildoers. He said, listen, they're going to. If you're doing this right, you're going to get persecution. If you're standing up for life, if you're standing up for marriage between a man and a woman, you're going to get persecuted. Mm-hmm. If you stand up for right, he says, they will speak against you just like you're an evildoer. They may, by your good works, which they observe, he says, so live your life right in front of people, glorify God in the day of visitation. He says, live right so their accusation is false. Okay, is that the last one? Okay, so did y'all see that? Let's look at that's in Peter. Let's look at the Old Testament model with Moses. Turn over to Exodus chapter 19. The law came in 20. Look at chapter 19. All right? They left Egypt. Now they're going towards Mount Sinai. Here we are in chapter 19, Exodus verse 5. Now therefore, if you indeed obey my voice and keep my covenant, then you shall be a special treasure to me above all people, God says, for all the earth is mine. What? Do y'all hear what God is doing right here? God is saying, I brought you out of Egypt because I'm trying to marry you. I want to be your man. I want to be your God. I want y'all to be my people. He says it. I want to be your God. I want y'all to be my people. He says, and by the way, the whole earth is mine. Do y'all get the swag in that? He said, I love you. I want to keep a covenant with you. All you got to do is obey my voice, keep my covenant. He says, because you're special to me. I like you, girl. That's what I said to this girl. Girl, I like you. I like you. I want you. You're a special girl to me. This house right here is mine. These cars are mine. I got a room for you. My room. I remember when Shade and I were dating, and she brought her... She's like, this isn't your house. I said, yes, it is. She said, this isn't your house. I went and got the deed to my house. I said, yes, it is. And her mom, it was her mom who was questioning. That ain't his house. She was used to dating ghetto dudes, but that's another story. And so when her mother came over to my house, and she was blown away. She took the tour of my house back then and all that stuff. But what was I trying to do? Woo her and her mom. As a if mama-in-law, you can stay right over here in this room. Well, you know what? We'll put you in the room way over here, though. I didn't say that part. But do you see what God is doing? That's what he's doing. He's saying, listen, you're a special treasure to me. By the way, I own everything. Come on, anybody want a God like that? He says, and look at this next line. You shall be to me a kingdom of what? Priest. Here it is again in the Old Testament. This is exactly the same thing that he wanted to do with the children of Israel. He wanted to bring the children of Israel and make them a kingdom of priests. They refused. Said, no, we don't want to do that, Moses. Don't let him talk to us. And Moses had to get his brother Aaron and the Levites to be the priests. God wanted all of them to be priests. What was the priest's job? The priest's job was to take the offerings of the people and present it to the Lord. And so what we read in Peter was, we take a bloodless sacrifice, a sacrifice. We take a sacrifice and to our God. What are those sacrifices that we bring to God? Because this is our first ministry. This is not an optional thing. You don't pass this. You don't move to stage two. Most people want to go all the way to fivefold ministry, put me on a television, pastor, put me in charge of everybody, but don't get this part right. Here, watch this. These are the words which you shall speak to the children of Israel. Okay, did y'all see that? Kingdom priest. Say kingdom priest. Look over in Revelation chapter 1, verse 6. The priesthood. They took the offerings from the people, prayed for the people, right? He said, I want a whole kingdom of priests. And he, Jesus, and has made us kings and priests. Kingdom priests. Kings and priests to who? To his God and Father. We're not kings over each other. We're kings and priests to God. We bring offering to him. Are y'all listening to me? To him be glory and dominion forever and ever. How many of y'all are learning already? Okay, so what is this? What is the sacrifice that we bring to the Lord? First of all, let's see that this is our first call. Jesus even said it. Look over in Matthew chapter 22. The scribes and the Pharisees asked Jesus, what's the greatest, most important, the first commandment? What's the biggie? Teacher, which is the great commandment? Matthew chapter 22, verse 36 and 37. He says, teacher, which is the great commandment in the law? His answer, Jesus said to him, you shall do what? Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. He said the first thing as a believer that you should be doing is ministering to the Lord, loving on the Lord. Are y'all with me? So what does that entail? Remember what the second was? Love your neighbor like you love yourself. Then he upgraded it to love your neighbor like I love you. So the first area of ministry for every believer is to minister to the Lord. The second ones then are going to be ministering to our neighbors. You get it? So the first one, what is that sacrifice? What is that sacrifice that we offer up as the priesthood? Romans chapter 12 and verse 1. Y'all know this one? I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. He says the first thing you offer up is you. What is a sacrifice? A sacrifice, Jesus was our sacrifice, our atoned sacrifice. What did he do? He died so we could live. Jesus said, I already did the dying part. I died for you. Now you live your life, a sacrifice life for me. You live your whole life for me. And to be a disciple, Jesus said, you got to love me more than you love you. That's the sacrifice that it is. That's when somebody says, hey, I just want you to do this for me. I want you to do this. I want you to do that. You say, hold up. But that doesn't line up with me being a living sacrifice. My body, presenting my body to God, holy and acceptable to God, which is my reasonable service. That's not even ridiculous. That's not asking a lot. Come on, somebody. Hit the person next to you and say, we all should do that. Come on, somebody. Y'all see that? Okay, living sacrifice. Look at our next one. So our first one is our life. Our behavior, our body. Next one, turn over to John chapter 4, verse 23 and 24. By the way, we're working on getting it, and we're going to be contacting some people this week. So if you come to these sessions, how many of y'all learned already? Yeah. Is this helping you? We're going to work it out. So if your kids, like my son's at back in my office or back in the green room somewhere doing homework, because he has a lot of homework, and we understand your children do, and we don't want to hamper you from getting this. This is going to change your life if you get this. You show up here and get this and you stay consistent, I'm telling you, it's going to change everything in your life. Everything in your life. You adhere to these things. Amen? So we're going to make it conducive for you by having stuff for your kids to do. We'll help have some teachers and some tutors to help them with their homework. If they don't have homework, we'll have them have games and have some fun stuff and stuff for them to make sure that they're occupied and productive. Amen? Watch this. John chapter 4, verse 23. Remember the woman who had been married five times, and Jesus said, hey, you've been married five different times, and the dude you're living with now, you're shacking up with. Remember that? And then this is the conversation they had. Remember, he said, the hour is coming, and now is, when true worshipers will worship the Father, how? In spirit and truth. For the Father is seeking such to worship him. God is looking for people who will worship him. Guess who's called to do it? God is a spirit, and those who worship him must worship him in spirit and truth. We are called to worship God. We are called to give this. In fact, the atmosphere of heaven is worship and praise. Nonstop. When you read in Revelation, it talks about how those 24 elders are around him singing continually, glory, be, glory, glory, whatever it is. They list it there. It says the song that they're singing. I can't remember right off. But it's the atmosphere that God dwells in. And so the Bible tells us in Psalms 100, the Bible tells us in Psalms 34, that we continually keep praise and worship on our mouth. It's not just occasionally. It's something we live in. Now watch, y'all. This is a lifestyle. The lifestyle of your body being a living sacrifice. It's a lifestyle. Again, this is not, you know, because all of us have come out of sin. And please hear me when I'm saying this right. I'm not trying to throw shade on you. What we're trying to do is get your life aligned with God's word, so you are positioned to receive the great things that he has in store for you. And that you don't waste years, as many of us have, going around the same mountains because we didn't learn these things. And we weren't in a church where they taught us accurately. And that's what it is. So, you know, none of us have done it all perfectly. So don't get under condemnation. Just make the adjustments. I told some couples today, I said, listen, here's I can marry you in my office. I can marry you in my office. Don't try to wait. Don't just live together indefinitely going, well, you know, we're going to get married. We're going to get married one of these days. Hold up. Do you want to live under the curse or do you want to live under the blessing? I think I want to live under the blessing. I want to do it God's way. And if you know, because people make up excuses. They say things like, you know, when I get my money right, I'll do this. Or they're looking for loopholes and they're looking for all this stuff. You know, but I often find out when I say, well, why don't you just get married? And then excuses start coming up. Then I realize, no, they're not willing to do what's right. They're not willing or obedient. You get what I'm saying? They're just coming up with excuses. And so you get it. In positions of leadership and in positions on this platform, we have to vet those things and make sure that you're in a position to be up there. This is one of the most visible positions in the church. And we have to protect that. Amen. Come on, y'all get that, right? Anybody mad at that? All right, good, good. Okay, what was I talking about? So worship. Worship is the next thing. Worship is the next. And that is a vital part of the Christian call. But it is a lifestyle. It is a lifestyle. Why many people don't worship right at church is because they don't live a lifestyle of that. It's a lifestyle. It is a lifestyle of consecration and sanctification. It is a lifestyle of gratitude. Worship and praise isn't something you have to drum up. It's something that drums up in you. It's grateful. It's just, I'm so grateful. I'm so grateful at where my life is and where it would be. Anybody else grateful? Grateful. You know, God said, I'm looking for people like that. I'm looking. There's so many examples I could tell you about the people that he healed, the lepers that he healed, and he healed 10 of them, but only one came back and said thank you. He said, where are the others? Didn't even take a chance. Didn't take the moment to say thank you. Come on, somebody. This sacrifice. Okay, here, let's go to the next one. Worship. So the first one is a living sacrifice, presenting your body a living sacrifice. That's your lifestyle. Second is a lifestyle of worship. Third is a lifestyle of praise. Look at Hebrews chapter 13, verse 15 in the Amplified Bible. Through him, therefore, let us constantly, okay, let us occasionally, sometimes when my money's right, when everything's just going right. Have y'all figured this out yet? Every day isn't an ice cream sundae. A brownie with ice cream on the top with some chocolate syrup, a couple of maraschino cheddar cherries. Yes, sir. Come on, somebody. Every day ain't like that. Every day is not. Come on, somebody. Have y'all had some days that, And this is why the Bible says, let us constantly and at all times offer up to God a sacrifice of praise. I don't feel like praising him because it's not going good, but because I know how it could be. Everybody in here can give God praise, because I can find you some people right in this church that would trade lives with you today. Trade homes with you today because they don't have one. Trade cars with you. You don't like your hoopty? I know somebody who would take it right now. You don't like your husband? You better sit a little closer. Like, hold up now. I'm starting to like him a little bit more now. Come on, somebody. Through him, therefore, let us constantly and at all times offer up to God a sacrifice of praise, which is the fruit of lips that thankfully acknowledge and confess and glorify his name. First is our life of sacrifice, right? Second is our worship. It's a sincerity of heart towards God. We're not running game on God. If something's going wrong in my life, I want it right. Come on, because I've been caught up in stuff too. Anybody else? I'll wait for the rest of y'all lions, lying devils. Okay. All right. Yeah. Put that little child's hand up right there. Yeah. He's like, huh? What's going on? All of us have been. All of us have been. Come on. Can we be real? All of us have been caught up. But if you're really saved, you don't want to stay caught up. You don't want to stay caught. If you're really saved, you don't. If you're really saved, if your heart's right with God, you're going, you know what? I'm caught up in some foolishness, but I'm going to get this right. I want to get this right. Come on, somebody. Come on. Any real saints in the building today? Amen. And that's what I'm talking about. So I'm not talking about putting you on blast or putting you to shame. That is not my mission. My mission is to help you get aligned right so that you can receive all that God has for you. The fourth is this last one that many saints rebel against this one. Tithing and giving. That was one of the main functions of the priest, to take the tithes and the offerings of the people. Remember, there were some guys who were stealing it? Eli's sons were stealing the meat and having sex with the women when they bring their offering. Y'all read that in the Bible? Yes, it's there in Samuel. They were bringing their offerings and getting more than it. Come on, somebody. It's like, what? If that happened in the old church, you are retained. No. When folks could fall over dead. No grace. No blood of Jesus. Blood of lambs. Come on, somebody. And they were stealing the lambs. They're stealing the lambs. That would be like me stealing the tithe and offerings. Sleeping with the women in the church. See how y'all get offended? Oh, how dare you? Some of y'all sleeping right now with your boyfriend. Oh, y'all want me to stay back here? Because we all ministers. Y'all forgot that already. Say, I'm called to the ministry too, Pastor. Okay, let's read this right here so we can go home and get some Subway or something. Remember this, Paul writes, he who sows sparingly and grudgingly will also reap sparingly and grudgingly, and he who sows generously that blessings may come to someone will also reap generously and with blessings. Next, let each one give. What is he talking about? All that sowing and all that stuff. He's talking about giving. Tithing, offering, giving, right? As he's made up his own mind and purposed in his heart, not reluctantly or sorrowfully or under compulsion, for God loves, he takes pleasure in, prizes above other things, and is unwilling to abandon or to do without a what? A cheerful, joyous, prompt to do it giver whose what? Heart is in his giving. Say, we need a heart fix. Y'all get this? Many people are so carnal, they walk by the flesh and they never trust God. Why the children of Israel didn't make it into the promised land, y'all know it was unbelief. They didn't believe God. They didn't want to believe that God would take care of them. They got nervous. He's raining bread out of heaven. He says, just take enough for today. Why? Because I want you to know that I'm going to do it tomorrow too. What did they do? He might not do it tomorrow. That was the whole thing. They didn't trust in him continuously. So God kept bringing them the problem. He brings them to water. They're thirsty as the mud. They haven't drank water in 3 days. They get to water and they find out, hold up, there's dead fish in that water. That water ain't good. Oh, Dak, why God you playing so much? Why God be playing so much? He know we thirsty the mug and bring us to poisonous water. Why didn't you just leave us up in Egypt? I tell you, that Moses is whack. He's so sorry. I can't stand Moses. And God is like, I'm trying to see if you'll trust me in whatever situation it is. He said, I let you go hungry so I could give you manna. I let you get thirsty so I could turn that water into Sprite, 7-Up. The Bible says it's sweet water. Sweet water, that sounds like 7-Up to me. Come on, somebody, some ginger ale. I'm going to put a little sherbet on it. Y'all hear what I'm saying? He said, I brought you to all these problems. Do y'all know that and I'm teaching my message already about the wilderness, but the wilderness is a test. Every test, every challenge in your life is a test. Are you passing or failing? Every time you run into a temptation, some of y'all can't stay away from the cuties at work. I don't even know where that came from. Flirting, running game, all this stuff, and you can't figure out why stuff doesn't work right. You're God's representative. Come on, somebody. And that's what he's looking for. He's looking for a priesthood, a royal priesthood, a king priest that's there on that job. Come on, somebody. Nobody knows it, but when they get sick, he's needing somebody there who has good news for them. When they find out that their spouse has cancer, or they find out that their kid's on drugs, God's needing somebody there who says, don't worry, God's got you. They don't know Jesus from a bale of hay, but they see you, and they see that you always have a smile, that you're always encouraging. You're not deep and weird and got to fall out and roll your eyes back in the back of your head and pray in tongues out loud in the lunchroom. Some of you are like, what's wrong with that? Okay, where were we talking? We're going to talk sowing. Now watch, y'all. Many of y'all, I want to do this. I want to lead. I want to go over there and do this. I want to do this. You don't even know how to tithe. You don't know how to serve God with what you've got in your hand now, but you want more. You disqualify yourself for the next level. God showed the children of Israel, here's what happens if you don't get discipled and you don't go through any tests. Here's all the gold of Israel. What did they do? They melted it and turned it into an idol. Moses had them crush it and drink it. Now, that was a date. I'm going to tell you right now. Moses was ticked off that day. Read the Bible. It's in the Bible. Moses said, "Oh, okay. Y'all wanna worship the golden calf? No problem. Let's go ahead, crush that up. Remember, I just wish I could say, somebody please walk in your gift as a movie maker and make that a movie. I want to see him crush that golden calf, and Moses put it in water and stirred up, and they said, drink it, and then kill him. Do y'all get the picture? Thank God for grace. Moses was taking his Air Jordans out. I'm like, bam, I'm kicking some booty down here. He was mad as the mug. He said, who's on the Lord's side? Come over here. Who with these knuckleheads? All right, Levites, get your swords out and have the Levites, the priests, kill them all. Come on, somebody. It's in the Bible. Read the Bible. We're going to read it. Just show up to church. All right. So he said, God, back up to the verse right before this, if you don't mind. And Moses chose, hold up. We were in, good God, Jesus. I didn't mean to make the world come to an end there. Just move one verse up. God is looking for a prompt to do it giver whose heart is in his giving. So he's saying, first what he says is, God is looking for sowers. He's looking for sowers. Look at the next part. And God is able to make all grace. What is that? every favor and earthly blessing. Is that a home? Yes. Is that a career? Yes. Is that a family? He said, I'll do it if you sow. Every favor and blessing come to you how? In abundance. Why? So that you may always and under all circumstances and whatever the need be self-sufficient, possessing enough to require no aid from your mama, your daddy, the government, standing in front of Walmart, Sam's Club, bothering me at every corner that I pull up to. Oh, y'all didn't like that. I see y'all. Furnish in abundance for what? Every good work. He says, I'm going to bless you so you have more to give. Watch this next one. As it is written, he, say me, the benevolent person scatters abroad. He gives to the poor. His deeds of justice and goodness and kindness and benevolence will go on and endure forever. There's a difference. I said it last week. There's a difference between the needy and the lazy. God discourages lazy over and over. Read the Proverbs. He says, if you don't work, don't eat. Now, don't do this when there's no, I'm not even going to say it. I hate Christians for that, but that's what the Bible says. You don't work, guess what? You're supposed to be hungry. Y'all didn't like that, yo, deep people. And God, who provides what? Okay, here's where many of us miss it. Here's why many are broke. God gives seed to who? What most people do is eat their seed. No seed that's sown, no bread for eating. So you wander out. And this is why when I was reading some of those prayer requests, somebody else said, I'm praying that God blesses me enough so I can tithe. Wrong. If you've got a dime, it takes faith to pay that, to sow that one dime, the one penny. Say tithe is 10% of the sanctified gross. Come on, all y'all didn't say that. Say the tithe is 10% of the sanctified gross. Who's eligible? Everyone who makes a dime. God said, bring ye the tithe first, and I'll take care of the rest. Say we got to trust God just like the Israelites did. Now, they never did. They never did, so they died. Many of you all will die broke because you refuse to trust God. I'm just telling you, that's what it is. Most will. I believe, if you'll get a hold of it, I'm living proof. Let me just read what he said. And God, who provides seed for the sower and bread for the eating, will also provide and multiply your what? Resources for what? Listen how committed God is to your sowing. He says, I'm going to increase your resources and multiply them so you have more to sow. What happens, and I've seen it happen time and time again, people come to this church broke, tore up from the flow up. God starts blessing them because they don't miss a service. They start getting the word. Their life turns around. Then they get that good job, that good house, and they ain't got no time for that anymore. It's a sad thing. I've seen it over and over and over again. Watch this. Multiply your resources for sowing. Notice that he will multiply your resources. Not your source, your resource. Who's your source? That's why you tithe. He's your source. Many of you are looking at your resource as your source. Your job is not your source. If they give you a layoff slip, that just means God is changing resources. If you're looking to him as your source, what most people do is they look to their job as their source, and then when they get laid off, they start looking to God as their, oh God. They're like, oh, huh? Where you come from? Watch this. Sowing and increase the fruits of your righteousness, which manifests itself in active goodness. He said this sowing not only affects your money, but it affects your life. Active goodness, kindness, and charity. Thus you will be enriched in all things. Mark this in your Bible. And in every way, he said, as you become a sower, it affects every aspect of your life. Every area, not just your money, your marriage, your health. Every aspect of your life depends on your giving. So that you can be generous. He says, I want to bless your life so that you can be more generous. And your generosity as it is administered by us will bring forth what? There's that high priest thing again. Close your Bible. Come on, how many of y'all learned tonight? Body a living sacrifice, worship to God, praise to God, and offerings offered. That's what a priest does. Our first ministry is to the Lord. Y'all get that? How many tithers and givers in this place? I did not say liars and fibbers. I said tithers and givers. Get your seed, get your tithe. Now at this time of the year is the best time to just start. Get on track, y'all. Let's walk this out. Why don't you prove God? That's what God said about it. He said, prove me now in this. Nothing else does God say prove me this about. It's in finances where we have to prove God. Why? Because we trust in mammon. We trust in mammon. Jesus taught about that. Amen? How many of y'all received that tonight? Isn't that good news? Are y'all learning? Does this help you? How many of y'all learned tonight? It's like, wow, I did not know that. I did not know. Good. As you learn, I'm telling you, the Bible lets us know grace and peace are multiplied to you. How? In the knowledge, in epinosis. The more you know about how he operates, the more you'll walk in it. How many of y'all need something from God? Good. You're going to get it as you learn. As you learn. Stick with me. Tell the person sitting next to you, stick with me.